Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We're here to talk about the Thunder. And, well, we just got one of the best wins of the season. I know some people will look at it and say, who were we playing? But we want to focus in on the fact that we didn't have Shea. And we beat the Pistons with a tip-in by J-Dub at the buzzer. And what a massive game by him.
J-Dub, man. Oh, my God. All right. First of all, I cannot help but just get excited about J-Dub and what he's done in the last couple of games. But last night, putting icing on the cake is, you know, Josh Giddey's desperation grab from the baseline. And I have to say this about Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey is an incredibly intelligent player in the aspect of he could have taken one more dribble, right? But it would have taken more time off the clock. He knew that if he got a shot up, that somebody around the rim could get a chance for an offensive board. That's why he took it so quickly. And I have to say is that it was the difference maker in the game last night, obviously, because J-Dub had plenty of time to get on that side of the rim and just do a nice little tip in. Like, again, what Josh did in setting up that play and Dort hustling and all this other stuff that happened to put us in that position is truly spectacular. Like, but J-Dub, 27 points, eight rebounds.
Rebounds, six assists.
Yeah, and then here's the thing. One block. That one block that he had was monstrous on Ivy, man. Like, seriously. Like, what he's doing right now is truly spectacular in every single context of the game. It's not just defense. It's not just offense. It's all the hustle play that J-Dub is out there doing. And it's the getting to the hole. His shot, he rises up so high, and then he finishes so well. Like, everybody's starting to take note. Like, we can't stop him. Like, who are we going to stick on him? We can stick somebody smaller on him. He's going to go. It's the same issue that everybody's having against Oklahoma City, Mark. They got 6'6 guards.
Yeah.
To 6'10 guards. How are we going to guard them? And I call Usman Jang a guard because of the way he plays, right? So if you think about that range right there, it's insane. Because Dort, in my opinion, at 6'4, he plays like a 6'6 guy. So say what you want about him. Like, in my opinion, we have, you know, 5'6" guys on the court at all times.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Dort had a good game. He actually had an and-one bucket that they wiped away that was just before the jump ball. They called a jump ball. There
That's
was
right.
no jump
it
ball.
Was. You're
it
right.
was a foul. They missed. And Dort got up and won the jump ball. Giddey got the ball right on the baseline, like you already mentioned, how he made sure he got the shot off. But all the things that went into that final sequence, it was really great seeing. Dort had a really good game, 20 points, 3 steals, and he went 3-for-7 from deep. So, you know, all great.
3 offensive rebounds as well, man. He was just everywhere.
Yeah. And you go down the list, Wiggins off the bench, 19 points. Giddey, he put in 18 points. So we were getting contributions, you know, from a bunch of places, but once again, we had a little trouble finding any depth off the bench. It was still something we were able to overcome, but this is something that happens when your best player is out. You start rewiring the starting lineup. So now you're in a spot where, you know, the bench players who are most consistent are now starting. So now you've got to find the next man up mentality on the bench. So last game, it cost us. We weren't able to get it done against the Hornets, and that was rough. But this game, we got it done. But really, we only got it done because of a tip-in. We're down by one, right? If that tip-in goes off, then all of a sudden, everything we're feeling right now are negative emotions. And I want to take a step back and look a little bit at that Hornets game and just recognize that there were a lot of good things, even though it's kind of wrapped up in a loss. But we saw 3 players score over 30 points in that game. And I can't think of the last time that we've seen that. So I just want to make sure we tip our hat to that effort by Giddey, by J-Dub, and by Isaiah Joe, because they carried us, and we almost had a chance to pick up 2 wins while Shea was out. One is good enough. Hopefully we get Shea back soon.
And it's crucial wins at this point. But I'm so glad.
And Giddey's almost triple-double, bro.
Yeah, so glad you brought up the last game, man. I really am, because there was not enough people that talked about it, and you and I were exhausted after the game, and we needed a day off before the doubleheader, so we didn't come with an episode about that Hornets game. But the reality is that Josh is near triple-double. Mark, you said it. What would you say Van Gundy said on
Yeah, I've heard Van Gundy say it a lot of times. He just says that we're too obsessed with round numbers. Like, is it really that different if a guy goes for 39 versus 40? Is it that different if he gets, you know, what he had, a 30-plus point triple-double? minus one assist. Is that really the difference? Like, should we celebrate it any less because it didn't quite reach a round number? Well, I don't think so.
That's what I'm so, man, this podcast, bro, what are we all about on this podcast? We're all about staying positive. We're all about staying positive about this team because this team is our lifeblood. This team is what we see. So when we see negativity around, especially in the comments in our podcast, it irks us because that's not what we're about. We're not here to sit here and talk about all these things that Coach D did wrong because guess what? Who the fuck am I? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a fucking nobody. All I want to do is enjoy the games and tell you guys what I see. I'm not here to question people. I'm not here to question the coaching or GM or the players for what they make the decisions on because let's be honest, I'm a 6'3 nobody that if I was ever in their position where they know, you know, tens of thousands of people are watching every single move of theirs, there's no way I could make some of these plays or I have the same IQ that some of these guys have. So why the fuck would I be sitting here trying to change those things? And I think that's what's so important about what we're trying to teach in this podcast is that we look at the positive things, right? We got the loss against the Hornets, right? But we had three guys that went out there and fucking dominated. And it was beautiful, beautiful basketball. And that's what's so impressive to us is because now we're looking at J-Dub having 58 points in the last two games. 58 points in the last two games. He has like something like 10 assists and like 16 rebounds and like – his shooting is off the charts, man. We played another game where we got outshot percentage-wise on both a three-point and field goal percentage, okay? We finally tied him up in offensive rebounds, but we were able to get this stuff all together and do things right because we only had 9 turnovers, man, okay? And I want to go back to that again, 9 turnovers, right? And everybody is over here so focused on the 10 offensive boards that we gave up, okay? Why are we focused on the 10 offensive boards that we got that put us in this position? I get it. But how many times in an NBA game do you see a team not get at least 8 offensive boards a game? So why is everybody complaining about what these little things that we're doing and all these other rebounds that are happening that they're like, oh, we should have got this rebound? But guess what? Our guards and this team is learning how to rebound without a big guy right now, guys. Think about that. This team is going to be 10 times better if you put Chet or Poku or Dario in the middle and bam. You see what I'm saying, guys? Like, this is our opportunity for this team to get so good at rebounding that nobody will be able to play with us. But so instead of us focusing on all these offensive boards, let's focus on the good stuff. Look at 10 offensive boards tonight. We dominated the glass. We got, I don't know, something like 15 or 18 or 20 points in offensive glass. The turnover ratio, they had 18. We had 9. Fuck yeah, dude. This is what I'm talking about. It's the hustle plays that we don't give a shit about when we're going out and putting our balls on the wall, bro.
And the king of all those hustle plays right now is Jay Will.
Jay Will.
You know, Lou Dort started it a couple years ago, and he's been remarkably consistent, even improving. But right now, Jay Will, I think he took 3 charges last night. He knocked down a couple of 3
charges and got an elbow in the chin.
Right.
On an offensive charge thing.
That's 4. And it's just, we just got to like recognize that this team is playing the right way. We are facing some adversity, but let's admit it. Like, this isn't a copycat league and everybody wants a little bit of what the Thunder has. And for a little while, it seemed like the best way to rebuild was to do the Sam Hinkie, Philadelphia 76ers version. But now people are realizing that you can do a Sam Presti rebuild by staying competitive as the season winds down, leaning into young talent, and you don't necessarily have to go out and win 12 games to make sure you optimize your draft potential. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing teams like the Hornets and like the Pistons who are competing for 4 quarters, and they're actually valuing that competition.
Oh, yeah.
That's good for us, and we have to recognize when we don't have Shea, we're really not that different than some of these teams that we're competing. Mm-hmm. We want to think we're better than them because our record is, but the difference in our record is we have Shea. So when Shea sits down, we're actually younger than some of these young teams who are rebuilding.
All right, guys, let's just go over what we have left. We have 5 games left, okay? We're 1 game ahead of Dallas, but we own the tiebreaker, so we're really 2 games ahead of Dallas. So Dallas has got to beat us by 2 games. So if we win 2 games, guys, what does that mean? Dallas has got to go 4-1 the last 5. So if we go 2-3, Dallas has got to go 4-1. Dallas has the Heat, Hawks, Kings, Bulls, and Spurs. They could go 4-1. but I'm guessing they're not going to. And that's the key here, is that this team is ready to go. I think we have three more wins than the rest of the season, which makes it almost impossible for the Mavericks to catch us. This is huge, guys. I think this team is ready to go, and I think the best thing is yet to come.
So we got the Pacers, then we got the Suns. So that's a big contrast. We got to get the Pacers if we, you know, because the Suns is going to be really difficult with KD back playing again. Then we go Warriors, Jazz. So once again, we got a tough one and a winnable one. And then the Grizzlies for the final game of the season, bro. This is the home stretch. We know what we got to do. We can say win this one or win this one, but the reality is we win, but we control our destiny. And that's the part of the season that gets us the most turned on.